Red Wings have it again. Cut off though by Tuck. Cuts into the zone. 2-on-1. Tuck right circle. He shoots and scores! Schmidt to the left for Carlson. Now Smith, he scores! Rips it over the glove of Jeff Glass. Vegas takes the lead 3-2. Right side in the middle and a shot. Fought off, it's loose. They score! Carpenter! Knights coming towards center. Here comes Carlson ahead with Schmidt, 2-on-1. Carlson on the right. He waits. He shoots. He scores! Hat-trick Carlson!
We are Vegas strong.
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights. Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman behind the board. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace will join us in a bit live from San Jose. And thanks to MJ Christensen Jeweler and Finley Toyota for helping make that happen up there in the Bay Area. But Clayton, another exciting game last night and a game that the Golden Knights looked like they had control of. Then you thought maybe momentum went over to San Jose, but when all was said and done, Vegas goes away with another victory, and the Road Warriors continue to apply themselves here in this 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs.
Still undefeated in the playoffs on the road. Small sample size of just three games, but they have won them all, and they get another crack at it tomorrow night. But there were a lot of key moments by a lot of key players last night to help contribute to the victory. We've gotten used to seeing that.
Yeah, and we're going to get to all of that here. And like we mentioned, talk to Ryan in a little bit as well. But after the second game, it's just funny the narrative and how everything changes and the fan base and all that. But it's kind of weird because I mentioned all season long that, boy, once the playoffs get here, EMTs might have to be standing by or something like that because people are going to be panicking and completely overreacting. And I got to admit, I didn't necessarily see that to the extent that I thought it was going to be. Even though they lost that double overtime game, I didn't see people thinking the sky is falling and the world's ending or whatever, because it seemed like most people, maybe it's because they had the goal that could have been the game winner that was disallowed, it seemed like people were still pretty much upbeat, thinking like, okay, well, we can still get this thing done.
Yeah, we can still get it done, and I think a lot of it had to do with how poorly they played, yet still right victory in their clasp on Saturday night. And then when we saw how this game unfolded through the first 20 minutes or so, I think a lot of people knew that San Jose was going to come out hot and come out hard. And for them to make it through the first period unscathed, get to the second period, and I think if you watch this team all year long, last night was more representative of who both of these squads were probably than the first two games combined.
Yeah, and actually last night's game reminded me a little bit of the L.A. series once again, because San Jose did come out hard. They had 21 hits, 21-13 they out-hit Vegas in the opening period. It seemed like they were trying to take them off their game, get them out of their head again, but Vegas didn't fall for it. They didn't get baited into anything. They survived that first period, and from that point on, they went on, and I thought they played a very good game. Again, they gave up a couple goals there in the third, but those things do happen a little bit, and San Jose was playing with absolute just desperation at that point, but then they still found a way to win the game, and kudos to them. But as we've seen before, when teams jump out of the gate getting that physical right off the jump, they can't sustain it for an entire game.
You can't sustain it, and there's also that little bit of head sinking or that sort of sigh of, we've done everything right to this point and still have nothing to show for it. And you could really get that sense of San Jose when they skated off at the end of the first period, that they had done their game plan almost to perfection, but they still couldn't get one by Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, well, of course, after every game, win, lose, or draw, we have our stars of the game, players of the game, night to shine that we do in the pregame event. But last night at the SAP Center, they said that Marc-Andre Fleury was the star of the game, the player of the game, and he certainly was incredible last night. But we have our own little twist on thing, because let's face it, we could make Marc-Andre Fleury the star of the game pretty much every time they win a game, because he's been incredible this entire playoffs.
Yeah, he's had a lot of really good moments. But when I think about last night and what got them to this conclusion, I go back to the second period when Timo Meier gives the lead to San Jose, and a couple of minutes later, the Knights answer back, and I thought that really set the tone that said, hey, we're in for a fight tonight. And so that's why we went with play of the game, the goal by Colin Miller. Our play of the game is brought to you by Best Mattress. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. Colin Miller.
Miller steps in, corralled by Nate Schmidt. He'll set it up for David Perron. In deep, Neal in front, they score on the back door. It's Colin Miller. It's a power play goal, and we're tied.
And we're used to seeing Colin Miller score on the power play, but usually not that close to the net. He's often out at the blue line, but a great play by James Neal to make that all happen.
Absolutely. James Neal, I thought, played a real solid game, maybe one of his best games, if not his best game of the playoffs up to this point here. And Miller, and we love it when the defensemen are at the blue line and they're not afraid to fire away and try to get those nasty, gritty goals or whatever, but Miller saw an opening there. He saw something developing, and to Neal's credit, he saw the defenseman charging in, and was a beautiful play. Playing a really big goal at the time.
It was a huge goal at the time, and we saw assists were really at the forefront yesterday, Frank, all over the ice, that the assist plays were as beautiful as the goals, and no more indicative of that than William Karlsson. He had the game winner, but he also had that beautiful touch assist to Riley Smith.
Yeah. William Karlsson steps in, Smith out in front, off Burns, Riley Smith out of the corner. Cycled inside for Jonathan Marchessault. He'll take it back. He'll wipe it a tip. They score! It ricochets across to Riley Smith. And the Vegas Golden Knights have a 3-1 lead. Marchessault got in the way. And now Neal. William Karlsson has room. He's in. He scores!
That is William Karlsson, our player of the game. Player of the game brought to you by Findlay Acura. Findlay Acura in the Otto Valley Mall, the new definition of luxury.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, too, because when you hear that description of it, and he says it ricocheted across, I don't even think the announcers at that point realized what an unbelievably deft touch pass that Karlsson made to set Smith up there. Smith has 8 assists in this play, in these playoffs. And you could say that maybe he's the most valuable offensive player of the team throughout the playoffs up to this point for the Vegas Golden Knights with everything he's contributed. 6-game scoring streak, got his first goal last night, 8 assists. But William Karlsson, maybe Smith doesn't have as flashy of passes. That was one of the prettiest passes we've seen. Forget about the Vegas Golden Knights. From anybody in this playoff so far.
And I love what William Karlsson said after the game. They asked him if he knew that Riley Smith was there, and is he trying to do that? And he said, yeah, I don't want to, you know, trying to be cocky, but I knew that he was over there somewhere, and I just tried to get it to him, and he did.
Yeah, and what that means is, like you said, I don't want to be cocky. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what he was doing. Again, these guys are so unassuming and so polite, and they say the nice thing and the right things. If this was any other professional sport that we've dealt with the most of our life, there'd be so much more chest pumping and fist pumping and, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's not how this team is. Yeah, they get excited during the goals and that, but I honestly think that on almost any instance, they're as excited or more excited for their teammate than they are for themselves. I think Karlsson was so happy that he finally helped Riley Smith get a goal because Smith has been so instrumental in so many of his.
And you think about the guys that were the primary assisters, and you think about that goal by Riley Smith being really all about William Karlsson. You think about Jonathan Marchessault and his goal, and that really was about Alex Tuch creating space and finding an open man and being able to split the seam with his pass. And James Neal starting the game-winning rush, excellent vision by the primary assist guys all throughout this game.
Yeah, and again, James Neal almost won the game in the overtime when he hit the post on one. I mean, I thought he played a very good game. By the way, we're talking about Riley Smith and Karlsson. They have combined on that goal that you just heard from there. They are also only the goals that they had, they both have 6-game point streaks right now. Smith with a goal and 8 assists for 9 points in the last 6 games. Karlsson with 4 goals and 5 assists for 9 points in the last games. Smith and Karlsson are just the second set of teammates in NHL history to each post a point streak of at least 5 games in their team's first Stanley Cup playoff appearance, and they're both up to 6.
They're both up to 6, and when you combine them with Jonathan Marchessault, and you've seen how this line has gone, and they really woke up, and we say it every day, Frank. Thank you, Drew Doughty, for poking the bear, because this line has really gotten going.
Yeah, I mean, they have definitely gotten going. And it's interesting, too, because we also said it, like, in that first series against L.A., seven goals by seven different players. And L.A. did a great defensive job in that series. Make no mistake about it. Vegas still found ways to win all the games here. But now they are getting a lot more scoring from the top-heavy line. You like to get contributions from every line on the ice. That's what really quality teams do. But sometimes to win a Stanley Cup, you still need that top line, your A team, to go out there and do their things. And they are doing it more and more with this line here last night. Last night, amongst all the forwards on the team, three of them were plus in the plus minus. That was all three of those players. Plus one and two of them with plus two. Everybody else was a zero or, very few minus ones in there. But bottom line is these guys are getting it done. They're getting better as the playoffs go along. And that could mean that we might be around doing this stuff for a while.
Yeah, the top line really on blast for the Golden Knights. But you think about the Sharks, too, and that what was missing from them last night was their top line production. They did get a goal from Evander Kane and assist from Brett Burns. But where was Pavelski? Where was Couture? They were really having the run of play carried by guys like Timo Meier and by Chris Tierney, I thought had a really great game moving up for Jonas Donskoy on that top line. But the big stars, the big guns for San Jose, not really able to do much.
Yeah, and again, hopefully that continues for the game tomorrow night. But let's head up to San Jose right now, and I'll talk to Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace. He's been part of the crew here for the entire time, does a great job with Jesse Granger on the Rink Rats as well. And Ryan's trip up to San Jose brought to you by MJ Christensen Jewelers and Finley Toyota. Ryan, what is the mood up there right now in San Jose? I'd imagine the people wearing Golden Knights jerseys are pretty happy. Not so sure how the Shark fans are feeling.
You know, it was funny, as I was leaving the arena today after the Golden Knights practice and I was picked up in my Uber, the driver asked me, what event's happening today at the SAP Center? So I would say that the residents here kind of don't have the ins and outs of a professional team schedule, but I think that's kind of a good thing, especially after an overtime loss in which your team played well enough to win, got the loss, and it's games two and game three were very similar in their storylines and how they presented themselves, and the Golden Knights blowing a lead in goaltender interference that probably should have stood the call on the ice. And there's just a lot going on in this series and in general, and the Golden Knights took advantage of a very optional skate. Really not a bunch of, not a bunch of guys out there. The only guys that were out there that played last night were Merrill, and we'll get to that in a little bit, and then Nosek, Bellemare, and Carrier, and that's mainly because they didn't play a whole heck of a lot in the game.
Yeah, Carrier, I believe, only had 5 minutes and change last night, so he played even less in the game last night than he did in the first game against San Jose.
Yeah, and that should be an indication that the Golden Knights are not doing what they want to be doing 5-on-5. If Will Carrier is only playing about 5-6 minutes a game, that means that whole entire fourth line isn't playing as much as Gerard Gallant would like them to, which is basically taking the Golden Knights out of their strategy, out of what they want to do. They want to roll four lines as much as possible. They want to play with pace. They want to pick up the pace on San Jose. But San Jose has been really good through the neutral zone in not allowing that to happen, and kind of dictating where play is and isn't over the course at least of the second game and the third game. So it's going to be up to Gerard Gallant to figure out a way to get more out of his fourth line, at least to play them in the ballpark of 12 to 15 minutes a night, just to get them back to Golden Knights hockey.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, Clayton, because I think of Carrier, and I still have visions of him flying all over the ice against the LA Kings, and to not see him on the ice that much, I completely agree with Ryan. It's like, although they're winning the games, and they're up 2-1 in the series, and again, you could argue that they could be up 3-0, but it's not. It's 2-1. Let's move on from this point here. But you would like to see, if everything was really clicking the way they'd want, we'd see more Carrier in that fourth line on the ice.
Yeah, you certainly would see more of them. And like I said, there's been so many special team situations that really takes them out of what they're trying to do. But I felt last night, Ryan, even if you look at sort of both teams' performance and you take that as a collective over the first three games, that last night was a little bit more indicative over what both of these teams are than perhaps the first two games.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think that one of the things you don't really get from San Jose is that they're a very deep team. You think of Joe Thornton, you think of Joe Pavelski, you think of Evander Kane and Brent Burns, but outside of that, you don't think about the Chris Tierneys and the Timo Meyers. You don't really think about those guys, the Tomas Hurdles. And those were the guys that sparked the comeback for San Jose. And then when you look at the Golden Knights, yeah, they get a lot from their second line. They get something from their third line. But it was the top line that carried them. I think this is basically as close to a quintessential San Jose versus Vegas game that you're probably going to find. Oh, and by the way, Marc-Andre Fleury was exceptional, and that's just something that we've come to recognize here in Vegas as the standard.
And, you know, you're speaking about Marc-Andre Fleury, and I know you had a chance to talk to some of the players today and want to get your insight on what the mood was and everything when you were talking to him. And I know that one of the things that you got to address when you were talking to Braden McNabb earlier was McNabb commented on Marc-Andre Fleury's save in the overtime.
Yeah, and Nate Schmidt said it last night. That was the save that really woke the bench up. And Braden McNabb just says that you take these things for granted. You know, you look at Marc-Andre Fleury and what he's able to do, and these exceptional things just kind of fall into place. And whether or not he saw the puck, whether he tracked it, whether he got lucky, whatever the case may be, Marc-Andre Fleury makes those saves more often than he doesn't. And that is why he's an elite goaltender in this league and playing some of the best hockey that he's played in his entire career as a 33-year-old, you know, on an expansion team that's doing amazing things. I look at Marc-Andre Fleury, and if he would have told me that he tracked that puck into his glove, I'd believe it because his reaction times are fantastic. He's relied a lot more on positioning lately than he has probably at any other point in his career. But he still has the freedom to be athletic. He's not Marc-Andre Fleury with the happy feet, really overplaying, overcommitting. He's patient when he needs to, but he relies on his athleticism when he needs to, and he's become one of the top flight goalies in this league.
Yeah, and you mentioned that what McNabb said about Fleury and that save in overtime on how incredible it was. And McNabb went on to also, and here's him talking about going on to saying that they knew that they were going to win the game.
I think the whole time, you know, mentally, you know, we knew this was our game, and we blew a lead, but we felt like we played well enough that this should be our game, and we knew we were going to win somehow. And you know, Flower, you know, kind of put an exclamation mark on it with that save.
And McNabb, they're saying, you know what? I mean, when they saw that save and they saw how things were going and that kind of stuff, it didn't matter that they gave up the two goals. They knew they were going to win.
Yeah, those are those little turning moments or little extra jumps of energy that you get when you have a good play like that. But I thought there were a lot of those moments last night, and we had talked a little bit earlier before you came on, Ryan, about Colin Miller and his goal on the power play and being able to answer right back and level the score after going down early as being one of the seminal moments of last night.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those points in the game where if the next 5 minutes kind of got away from Vegas, the building was going to take over and San Jose was probably going to skate to a pretty easy and convincing win. But it was that answer, and it was the poise from James Neal to find Colin Miller. It was Colin Miller making the right read, and it was a little bit of luck. It was a little bit of luck on the pass to just be deflected enough to get through Mark Edward Vlasic, and it was a great shot by Colin Miller.
And, you know, we talked, too, about obviously giving up the two-goal lead there, and I know you had a chance to talk to William Karlsson, and here's what Karlsson had to say about giving up that two-goal lead.
You should always have the attitude of scoring the next goal, you know. I mean, they've made some great plays. They scored a beautiful goal there by Kane. And so, I mean, it's hockey. They're a good team, so credit for them.
So Karlsson and the whole team, I mean, was that just kind of the general feeling with them today, and you could kind of tell it last night as well, that because it seems like even when things are going bad and the fan base or the crowd or somebody else starts doubting them, these guys just never doubt themselves.
Yeah, I don't think there's an ounce of doubt in the entire locker room. I think they believe that if they can figure out how to play their game more often than not, they're going to win hockey games. And I think they have enough confidence in their goaltending and Marc-Andre Fleury to bail them out when they're not very good. And they have enough confidence in their high-end scoring ability that if they're close, they're never, ever out of a game. And I think that you have to have that belief in order to be a team that's currently two wins away from the conference final.
Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace, joining us live from San Jose, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. And you're talking about Marc-Andre Fleury and the great job he's done. And all the players on the team obviously notice it. But Evander Kane, maybe not the biggest Marc-Andre Fleury fan out there. Evander Kane, when you caught up with him, basically said that he believes that Fleury can be beat.
He's a beatable goaltender. At the end of the day, every goalie's beatable. They're in the net to be beat, unless it's our goalie. So, we just got to find a way to score more goals than they do.
I would expect Evander Kane is going to say that. I mean, he's obviously going to say that. But the way Marc-Andre Fleury's been playing right now, I think you could find some questions about that, because he's beatable, but it better be a heck of a play to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Evander Kane, I guess, can say that after last night, because he did beat Marc-Andre Fleury clean, so there's that. But it's almost like the tweet I sent out yesterday, in which the San Jose fans are mockingly chanting Fleury's name as if he isn't doing enough, as if he isn't one of the best players on the ice, when Martin Jones is a sub 900 save percentage, and that's not very good. I mean, Evander Kane has to say that, right? Like, he can't sit there and say, yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury is unbeatable and we have no chance in this series and there's really no point in even playing the game. You got to say that. It comes off as arrogant, comes off as cocky, but we've been there before. Drew Doughty had comments basically the same, saying that the Vegas Golden Knights aren't that good and that the Kings are going to be a better team. And how did it end up for the Kings? Now, I'm not saying that the Golden Knights are definitely going to win this series, but you have to have belief, and the Golden Knights believe in their ability to win, and I think the San Jose Sharks believe in their ability to win as well.
I've always never been a huge proponent of bulletin board material and how that really affects a locker room, but I think something's a little different with this Golden Knight team, given where they've all come from and the fact that they themselves have admitted how much extra motivation they have when they're meeting certain players or certain teams. You think about Eric Halla and how much he wanted to beat Minnesota and prove them wrong. You think about Alex Tuch saying how he wants to go up to Minnesota and kick their ass, or William Karlsson talking about how every moment that he's out on the ice, he's thinking about how somebody didn't want him. And I wonder, even though Evander Kane can say something like this, whether or not he should have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'd give the Golden Knights any more motivation to beat you. And it's funny that you bring those players up, that you bring up the Tucks and the Hollas and even the Riley Smiths, the Jonathan Marchessos. And it's not just that those guys were left unprotected. Some of them were bargaining chips so that the other would be taken. Alex Tuch was traded so that Eric Halla would be taken. So it's not like Minnesota said, we're going to leave you unprotected, Eric Halla. It's, we're going to leave you unprotected, and then we're going to give away an asset that we don't think is worth it for this team to take you. So we are running you out of town, essentially. And the same thing happened with Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson. There were draft picks involved with having to select William Karlsson. And that's a storyline that I don't think really gets played out enough. And it's not just that these guys were left unprotected. It's the way in which they were acquired, with a bunch of extra picks and a bunch of extra prospects and players enticing Vegas to select these guys that have become the core of this team. You talk about chip on your shoulder. Vegas has that, but they also believe in themselves, their ability, their talent. And it's getting to a point where you shouldn't doubt this team. There's no room for doubt when it comes to the Golden Knights.
I want to get your thought on a couple more sound bites here, too, while we have you on the phone here. Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace, joining us here live from San Jose. James Neal, certainly one of the team leaders and one of the guys that really got this team off to the right start, right off the bat in Dallas, with game-winning goals and doing things and kind of letting everybody else find their place on the roster and everything, and really get the storybook right starting here. Well, Neal was asked about the team overcoming adversity, because this is the first time we've seen adversity in the playoff, and this is what James Neal had to say about the team and that question of, could they overcome adversity?
I think we responded good. I think we could still be better, for sure. I like our response. I like that we won that game right now. So it says a lot about our group. It's tough giving up two goals at the end there, and then they come back. They got all the momentum, and Flowers amazing again tonight, and gave us a chance to win, and we cashed in when we needed it most. So it was a huge win, and proud of our guys, but we got to learn from this. We got to be harder at the end there, for sure. Myself on the ice there at the end of the game with a minute 30 left, you got to be hard on those plays.
And, of course, James Neal there clanked one off the crossbar that could have won it, but didn't hang his head like nobody on this team seems to do. Kept on plugging away, doing what needed to be done, and got that the big assist on the game-winning goal by Carlson.
And I like, Ryan, that he said, I like that we went out and won that game, because moral victories are great, but real victories are better.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, the part that I think I like the most about that soundbite from Neal is taking responsibility. He was one of the guys that was on the ice a minute and a half left. You've got to be harder on that, and he took ownership of that. And when you have a leader, when you have a guy in the locker room that's been to the Stanley Cup final, that knows what it takes to get to that point in the season and didn't win it, and he's taking personal responsibility over the fact that he should have played better, he should have been harder, when in actuality, James Neal had probably one of the best games that he's had as a Golden Knight. He was fantastic. That is something that the room's going to feed off of. And you're right, Clayton. Actual victories right now mean more than moral victories. And this team really showed a lot of character in the face of a lot of adversity, in the face of a lot of things kind of piling up and going against them in the later stages of that game to come away with the W.
And obviously adversity is something that any team that's won a Stanley Cup goes through. Teams don't go through it winning 16 straight games and have an easy way for it. So in some ways, adversity is not the worst thing in the world. But I do have to say, I'm glad right now that the adversity was from the game before, because the adversity of if they would have lost back-to-back overtime games, even this team, as gritty as they are and as much as they believe in each other, that might be a different story. But, up to this point, we don't have to worry about things like that, do we?
No. And, I mean, it definitely wouldn't have been the end of the world, but it would have been tough, especially if you let that kind of seep into Game 4 and it gets you a little bit off your game. But obviously the Golden Knights really knew what they needed to do in San Jose. You always talk about when you go on the road in the series, you want to get a split. Well, they've got at least a split here in San Jose. They've recaptured home ice advantage. So if they come out with a win in Game 4, obviously that's great, but you did accomplish what you set out to do coming into San Jose, and that's get at least one.
Yep, and of course, the other team on the other side, now they're facing some adversity. We'll see how they bounce back. And I want to also get your thoughts, because their coach addressed how their team is playing right now, and this is what Peter DeBoer said about that question when they asked him, how is your team, the San Jose Sharks, playing at this point?
I think our game's in a good place. It's just, one of those games. We're doing a lot of good stuff. But through the three games, we're chasing the game every night, and we've got to find a way to get out in front.
And that's definitely a thing, and that's what I think a very important point. And we've talked about it during the regular season. When you're chasing a game all the time, and again, last night they got off to the 1-0 lead, so they weren't chasing it the whole time, but then they fell behind 3-1, so they are chasing it. Sometimes you can climb the mountain, but you still can't quite get to the top. They found a way to do it in game two, and the overturn goal, whatever, they won the game. That was the bottom line here. But if you're constantly chasing, and each round that you go in the playoffs, the teams are probably going to be better than the round that you played before, at some point that's going to catch up to you. How do you think the Sharks bounce back from this? We know Vegas has a lot of grit. We know that San Jose has some grit of their own as well, but That's tough when you're constantly coming from behind all the time.
Yeah, and you think about them getting off to the good start and getting off to the lead, but that lasted 2 minutes. And 7 minutes later, you're down two.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for San Jose, it's really going to be about getting better goaltending from Martin Jones. And I don't want it to sound like he's the main problem, but he's being outplayed by Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's unfair because it's Marc-Andre Fleury, but Martin Jones needs to come out with a spectacular save. He just simply does. Even if it's a goal that he doesn't have any business making the save, he needs to come up with something. And then San Jose needs more out of their top line. They need more from Kane. They need more from Pavelski. They need more from Logan Couture. And obviously, if Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't come up with that save in overtime, then they get more from Pavelski. They get more from Couture because those were the two guys involved in that play. But I kind of agree with Peter DeBoer. I think the Sharks have gotten better every single game. They're way more competitive in the neutral zone. They're not allowing Vegas to use their speed. They're not allowing Vegas to stretch them out in the neutral zone and play in transition. I believe the only transition goal that Vegas has scored since the opening game was William Karlsson's game-winning goal in Game 3. So they completely eliminated that aspect of Vegas' game in Game 2. So when you look at it from that perspective, I think San Jose's cleaned up a lot, especially from the Game 1 butt-whooping that they took. And how do they bounce back? Well, you saw how they bounced back after getting embarrassed in Game 1. They played one of their better games of the playoffs. So I expect nothing but their best effort in Game 4.
All right, well, we truly appreciate the time. Enjoy your evening there in San Jose tonight. Then we'll talk to you again tomorrow after morning skate, see how that goes out, and get your thoughts on how you think tomorrow night's game will play out, if it's going to be as physical in the start, how both teams jump out of it, what the mood is in the city and in the arena. So doing a great job up there, and we appreciate everything that you do for us, my friend.
All right, thanks, boys. I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Yeah, all right. Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace there. Thanks once again to MJ Christensen and Finley Toyota. And it is interesting because all this stuff is, you know, momentum is such a big thing, and we hear the, oh, momentum is now on this side, momentum is now on that side. But one of the key things that I thought last night was not only the fact that, yes, Vegas gave up the two-goal lead, but even at the start of the overtime, when they didn't score on those two power plays, they still had two power plays. It seemed like San Jose wasn't necessarily mentally ready because they were still making mistakes. Where they should have had the momentum, I didn't think they performed very well when it came to that situation.
Yeah, it almost seemed like it was relief when they got out of the power play situation, when they killed those two penalties, more so than now it's time to attack.
Yeah, it was more like relief, but not belief.
Exactly. It's like, oh, okay, now let's reset, not let's attack. Not, oh, look what we did. We were able to kill this penalty. It's almost like, thank goodness we were able to kill that penalty.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show went a little long there, but Ryan's up there, and I want to pick his brain and get his thoughts on things. When we come back, there's some hockey games going on tonight, a little news, and also a very cool thing that they did up in Colorado that they do in arenas now more and more across the NHL that we'll get to as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, back with a lot more. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Carnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. Thanks to Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace joining up in San Jose. And there's other series going on as well. Want to throw the stat out here real quick. After last night's action in Vegas winning on the road in that overtime game, so much for the home ice advantage in these playoffs this year. Home teams, 26 and 26. It's a coin flip whether you're on the home or road in this playoff this season.
So it means one home team tonight, one road team, huh? Is that what you're saying?
If it stays true to the trend, yeah.
You're saying if Pittsburgh wins tonight, then go put the farm on Nashville?
Well, the only problem is the games are only half an hour off from the start time, so you're not really going to be kind of know. But if you do the end game, yeah, then I guess you could maybe do that.
Little note on the Pittsburgh series tonight. Brian Dumoulin, Evgeny Malkin, Carl Hagelin, all game time decisions. Dumoulin and Hagelin wore gray, no contact jerseys in practice today, but all three of them did complete the entire practice. It's really more a question of Evgeny Malkin. He's the one that everyone seems to think will play tonight, but it has not been confirmed.
And again, that's because he is the most important person on that list there. As great as Sidney Crosby is and Chris Letang and all the other players, Guentzel, and the list goes on and on and on for the back-to-back Stanley Cup winners, Evgeny Malkin is a superstar in this league as well, and not every team has multiple superstars, and when they don't have Malkin, well, they don't have as many superstars.
Little fun thing for the folks of Washington and Pittsburgh. We know that the Capitals are at the Penguins tonight, but in Major League Baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates are in Washington to play the Nationals. This is second game of a four-game set. Washington won game one, 3-2 last night. Tanner Roark beat Jameson Taillon, but I was looking at the odds. So maybe if you're like a Pittsburgh guy and you want to go bet both of your Pittsburgh teams to win or Nationals, These are your odds. Capitals are plus 120, Penguins minus 140, but the Pirates are plus 210, Nationals minus 240. So if you want to go Washington, $25 parlay gets you a $52.91, while a Pittsburgh parlay gets you $107.85.
Interesting there. I'm also curious to see if Washington continues to win and somehow they were to meet Vegas in the Stanley Cup Finals. How's Bryce Harper's VGK bats going to go over in the nation's capital?
Yeah, that will be a fun. I think he gets a little bit of a pass because it's his hometown team. Not like when LeBron James was wearing a Yankee hat at the Cleveland Indians game when they were playing in the playoffs. But if you just want to go home, you want to go Penguins Nationals, both chalk. $25 parlay gets you $35.71. But if you really want to gamble, go road team. In this one and the dog, Pirates and Capitals, $25 gets you a $145.50.
And so are you going to be taking part of any of that, or is that just for entertainment
just
purposes?
Just for entertainment purposes only. I just thought it was fun because
no, it definitely is.
Pittsburgh and Washington playing in baseball and in hockey right now, so good times.
By the way, when it comes to that game, we mentioned the players for Pittsburgh that are game-time decisions. Well, Washington also has a couple guys, though that it doesn't look like they're game-time decisions. It looks like they are going to play Kuznetsov and Oshie. They say they will be playing Game 3 tonight. They both have minor hand injuries. Oshie's actually looked like it could have been bad. I mean, he blocked a shot literally with just his hand there. Looked like it could have hurt a lot, but he's a hockey player.
He is a hockey player. Hey, you know what, Frank? We have, believe it or not, some Ottawa Senator news during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Get out of here.
And that is that Guy Boucher, the most voted most likely to be a Bond villain of any head coach in the NHL, is returning. He is not getting fired. His entire staff will also be retained in Ottawa.
Well, I mean, good for him. I'm happy for him there. I think the Ottawa Senator fans are more concerned about, well, that's nice that the staff is staying. What's Carlson doing?
I just hope that they make their trip to T-Mobile early next season so we can get one last look at that scar before he probably does end up not making it through next season.
I like him.
He's kind of cool.
I like his press conferences. I think he says interesting things. He's okay. One of the few guys that doesn't always use coach speak. So I like him, Babcock, Tortorella.
Can we get a maybe talk to one of the sports books? Who is likely to get fired first, Guy Boucher or Todd McClellan?
Yeah, they've both gotten the seal of approval from their general manager, both of them entering the last year of their deal as well. So hot seat they will already start on. But I think Todd McClellan, he's got better players, probably a little bit longer leash than Guy Boucher. I would think it was going to take a pretty grand effort by Ottawa for him to make it to next year.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there. You know, there's another guy who's been around the game for quite a while who is going to be vacating his position. And if you would have said something like this 20 or 30 years ago, people would have thought you're out of your mind. Somebody leaving the Montreal Canadiens to go to another team.
No, that never happens.
Rick Dudley vacating his position as Montreal Canadiens Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations to join the Carolina Hurricanes in the same capacity. So right now in the world of hockey, Carolina is dubbed a better location than Montreal?
You know, even with a little bit better weather, you cannot stop living in Montreal to live in Raleigh-Durham. You can't do it.
The 69-year-old has served as GM with four different NHL franchises. The Thrashers, Tampa Bay Lightning, Ottawa Senators, and Florida Panthers. He's also held senior executive roles with seven clubs: Thrashers, Lightning, Senators, Panthers, Blackhawks, Maple Leafs, and Canadiens. Leaving Montreal to go to Carolina. Is that number two draft pick that valuable?
I guess it is. Well, we also see another guy leaving a champion to go to a non-playoff contender, and that is goaltender Mikko Koskinen. He is leaving the KHL and SKA St. Petersburg, the champions of the KHL, to go to the Edmonton Oilers. Backup Cam Talbot maybe take his starting goaltending job in training camp. He was the goaltender for SKA St. Petersburg, also for the Finnish national team.
Yeah, and you know, they've signed him to a one-year contract, but I do find that interesting because Talbot was a disappointment this season. He did not play as well as they thought. This is a guy who was drafted by the New York Islanders with a 31st overall pick back in 2009. He played only four career games with them. He's been over there in the KHL for a while, but he's coming off a great season. 1.57 goals against, 937 save percentage in 29 games. if Koskinen plays like he did over there and like they're hoping he's capable of, could this be something that they're looking at to maybe replace Cam Talbot after a disappointing season? Because we know goaltender, it can be a very touchy situation there. You can be a superstar one year and find yourself out of work the next. Look at guys that we saw down here in Vegas playing for different teams like Cujo, Curtis Josephs, and other guys like that. I mean, it's Brizgalla played for the Wranglers. I mean, it's a weird thing. The Hamburglar who came in for, you know, he was all the talk and the toast of the town in Ottawa, and this year he only got in because other guys got injured. So I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't kind of an addition for him saying, maybe you're the answer, because they're not getting rid of coaches, and they had a couple of coaches, but not head coaches or GMs, so they're looking to turn things around up there in Edmonton.
And McDavid and Draisaitl, they're not going anywhere.
No.
And so much of a mental aspect to the goaltender. Maybe you wonder what this does to Cam Talbot. Does it fire him up and motivate him, or does it give him even more doubt? But at least Mikko Koskinen, at least he can say, well, you know what? He had four games with the Islanders, didn't play well in the NHL, so maybe Cam Talbot can hold on to that as he goes into training camp. A little bit of Islanders news as well, and that is that they are they're going ahead with stadium construction. Everything seems to be on schedule. They do have their environmental hearing coming up soon, but they look like they're going to be able to break ground on time next year.
Oh, it's nice that they'll be able to break ground, and I'm sure the crowds are going to be happy to have a new stadium. Will that entice free agents to go there?
And will the folks in Calgary talk to the folks in Long Island and say, how did you get a stadium deal done? What can we learn from you? Because we're still fighting up here in Calgary trying to figure out where the Flames are going to play and even if they're going to stay in town.
All that to be answered at a later date. But when we come back, we're going to wrap it up here, get you ready for T.C. Martin. And in Colorado, they did a pretty cool thing. Now, the Avalanche had a great season this year. Surprised pretty much everybody out there. Probably would have been the number one in the story in the NHL if it wasn't for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll tell you what they did for their fan base in that to make them feel part of the community and show them that they appreciate them as well. That's how we're going to wrap it up today. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Stick around. Wrapping it up here on a
Tuesday.
Hard to remember what day it is sometimes with these weekend games and everything. But
we're going to schedule.
It's like it's either game day or it's not game day. But anyhow, wrapping it up here on a Tuesday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Arnold, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. And remind everybody, tomorrow night we'll be out at Parkway Tavern in Henderson on Mark Street over there behind Sunset Station. So come on and join us for the game. Or if you're on this side of town, going up to our friends up at 215 in Flamingo, they'll be having the game there as well. They just won't have our prizes and stuff like that that we'll be giving away.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, a pretty cool thing. The Colorado Avalanche had a good season, but their season is now over. So what they did was they invited season ticket holders to hang with some of the amateur hockey players in the area, some of the staff members and different partners, and they invited them down to the ice with some paint and said, make a design and do something on the ice. This is a thing that has started a while ago. The New Jersey Devils were amongst the first teams to also take part in this. They've been doing it for more than 5 years now. They invite their fans down as well, so pretty cool. What would you put down on the ice if somebody said, you can make a design, just have at it?
Just have at it. I don't know. You know what? I would probably try to make a chance goalie mask.
A chance goalie mask?
Yes.
Okay.
So like yellow.
It's Colorado. You got to paint some hamburgers on the ice for a Hamburglar, of course.
Well, but what would you do here in Vegas?
I try to do something nice with the mountains, Red Rock.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I have zero artistic talent, so that's not happening.
I think I would try to take a friend of mine that had artistic talent and make them do something to my thing, because I'm not an artist.
Yeah.
And stick people would just be a waste of time.
Yeah. maybe Nate Schmidt playing the electric guitar.
All right. Well, maybe I would make a stick person of the T.C. Martin, who's up next here. Enjoy his show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Have a great evening.